Slowly open the eyes. Try to hold on to the peace. Last 2 nights we've had meditation. They have brought up many more questions than we normally want to ask. so I'm going to celebrate a very wonderful friend's birthday tonight with you. Very wonderful, so very close maybe, by allowing you to ask questions. No hold on. You adopt that. He has a wonderful name. His name was Sunny. All life to him was Sunny. In honor of my good brother, I dedicate tonight to him. No closed bars.
I'd like you to talk some more about the nature of initiation.
The nature of initiation. The word means to introduce. Are you familiar with that? Then, by virtue of that, the very nature of it is to introduce your ego to your soul. How can you do that by yourself? If you live in your ego and believe you have a soul, then the introduction is impossible. But if you are soul, then the introduction is possible. And we must turn to others who have accomplished the introduction. They must leave us some method, and that would be the initiation or technique. Throughout the history of man, technique has been given over and over and has never changed. And I'll repeat it. When the eyes are single, the light is shining in the darkness. And the darkness comprehends it not. But let your light so shine before men, that they may see the good works and glorify the Father which is within you. Sounds familiar? Then do it. Because nobody can drive the car for you. You have to drive your own car. But we all introduce you for the ignition switch. But you still need a human being to give you the key to turn it on.
What's that key?
Those who have eyes to see, let them see. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear. You have the key. Can you fit the lock? First, you must know where the lock is located. Where do you think the lock is located?
In your heart, in your consciousness.
No, that's where the treasure is. The treasure is at the heart. The lock is someplace else. Where is the lock?
Juna Center?
Yes, in the
pineal.
The pituitary gland. Where is the lock? Point between the eyebrows. Now. In some books you read like this. Gaze at the origin of thy nose. And thereby enter into the house of the Lord. Now, look at your nose and tell me where your origin is. Where is the origin of your nose? Right, between your eyes. Now can you gaze there? Mm-hmm. Without closing the eyes?
Mm-hmm.
No, let me see. You're not gazing there.
Yeah, I see a sensation. I see light.
Sensation is not gazing because but Jesus said, when the eyes are single, the whole body is full of light. He was very specific. He didn't make no bones about it. He's giving you a very specific technique. And the only way you can make your eyes plural, one, two, single, you'd have to close them. But not fall asleep. He didn't say to fall asleep. Most people do like this. They call it meditating. That's like a person flipping the ignition switch. But the pituitary gland, referred to as Ajna Center, having two petals, if you call it Agrarian language. The pituitary language today is modern anatomy and physiology. The pituitary has two parts. No other part in the anatomy matches the term Ajna as being two petals, the anterior and the posterior lobes of the pituitary gland. And they are very important in order for the brain to regulate metabolism. Ignition switch, very important to regulate automobile. don't jump it through the wood. Policeman will catch you. So you see, initiation is a definite way to that process. It's an introduction to where the key and where the lock is in your own makeup.
So you need to focus the eyes here when you focus.
Yes. You only have three positions that you can put your eyes. Do you think you can do that?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
What are the three?
Straight ahead.
Hmm?
Straight ahead.
Now that's open eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is that for? Downward.
Yeah. Good. When you close it down, they call your sleeping head. When you close it up, they call your trance. So the dead man has his eyes gone down. And the sleeping man has his eyes out. Turn up, turn down, or turn backwards.
Open up.
Open up. So you see, you have to have physiology to back up the actual experience. Then what are the eyes supposed to do when they do that? Remember, when the eyes are single, the whole body is full of light. What are the eyes doing when they turn in?
Fusing.
Then, is your body made up of what?
Cells.
What are cells made of?
Atoms. Atoms are energy.
Atoms and energy. You know any nuclear bomb stronger than this one? Or bigger than this one?
Anything.
Or more powerful than this one? We don't have a nuclear bomb to match one human body yet. This has the power of 10 suns when exploded. Interesting phenomenon. The unrealized man has the potential power of 10 suns in his human body locked up. The fully realized man has the potential of 24 suns in his human body. Look how much atomic power we're talking about now. We don't have even one atomic bomb in this earth to match our sun yet. And yet we are talking about looking for a God in the sky. When the God does become you, and lock up himself within you, but give you a big fat tongue to talk to yourself. So you play the game of know it all. Very wonderful principle. My friend Sonny would say, yeah, that's what makes him a son. Initiation is already with you. And the very nature of it is to tap the atomic potential of this mass. Hence, a human being is a miniature universe. In ancient times, they call it a microcosm, moving in a macrocosm. The macrocosm is the environment with the 144 elements for quantum. In the human body, the same 144 elements are present in a microform, like a mini robot. But for quality, not for quantum. That's the difference between us and the environment. In the environment, the 144 elements are in various combinations to make up the 84 million life forms around us in their little combinations. In this body, we have all 144 elements in very minute combinations. But we have one power over the environment. The environment has quantum, meaning quantity. This has quality. Only this has dominion over the environment. Environment doesn't have dominion over this. But this can sell itself short and allow environment to have dominion over it. Controls quality. Then that's misery. But when quality controls quantity, that's freedom. That's why the man Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness which is within you, not outside of you." And it will free you. Free men are lord of yourself. But how do we seek it? By conversation or by internal observation? It's easy to talk about God, but hard to experience Him. It's more difficult to go into an internal observation and suffer the consequences of your self-ignorance and come out with God in the end, because He can't hide from you no more. Your ego is the prodigal son that squandered the beauty of the creative energy called life, via oxygen, making principle of breathing, busy frittering around outside here. That's why Jesus used the story of the parables of the prodigal son, or He was referring to your ego, your five senses, constantly running out there, trying to hang on to something in the world of quantum, only to find out there's nothing in the world of quantum you can keep with your five senses. Can you keep a dollar with your, when your son is asleep? Poor men, rich men, don't know who they are when their son is asleep, or they know they have a dollar in the pocket. Their five senses are shut up. You're lucky if somebody don't bury you by mistake. But that is your prodigal son in you. That's your ego, your five senses. It is busy working outside. Yet, logic, the other brother, stays in home. Don't go no place. know it all. And so compassion wants the reward. Ego for self-correction and self-acceptance and perform big party called self-analysis. Logic is angry. And confronts compassion. How come I've been here and don't put on party for me? This joker comes back and gets all the big party put on for self-analysis, self-evaluation. Then compassion says, this is your brother that has been lost. Five senses are always going to be trapped. But can you lose logic? It don't go nowhere. It's always inside. If you act logical or you don't act logical, that's all you got. So the party goes on inside of you. The ego or the five senses withdraw. The logic slows down. And this quality comes to the surface now that is locked up in you. And what is that quality that gives you dominion over the universe, that gives you freedom over the environment? That makes you free man all out of yourself. What is that?
Awareness.
The soul.
Compassion.
Partly right, not completely right.
Transcendence.
Partly right, but not complete.
Well,
partly right, not complete.
Transcendence with love.
Detached transcendence.
Ah.
Tremendous.
Not my will, but thy will be done. The principle within is the will of the Lord being recognized over your own egotistical will. Great as we are, we did not make ourselves. Therefore, we don't have a will to exercise. And we have to surrender to that creative will that put us together. Not until we do that, we will not be obeying the rules of the road. I like to go through a red light, but if I do, I'll have an accident. And for that reason, the traffic department allowed me to go through the red light, providing I turn right. But if I turn left, I got an accident. Because I'm in a hurry to get where. When you drive, sometimes you're in a hurry and the red light comes up. But you remember years ago, they never allowed you to go through red light. They made you stop regardless of what it was. Then out of consideration for emergency, they allow you to stop at the red light, look show, okay, turn right. But they don't let you turn left. These considerations are also locked up with you. As your own self-discovery between your ego, your logic, and creative will. But the journey is one of the atomic structure of your mass. And you have to experience it. You can search all over, and no one is going to prevent you from searching. When you're ready for the final experience to cross over, then this teacher will be there to give you the final push. It's called the radiant form of God. You see it inside of yourself as a light, like a dove upside down, like a five-pointed star upside down. And when you look inside, it has three colors. There's a gold ring, a blue background, and a five-pointed white star like a dove descending down toward you. And right at that entrance, if you have a death experience, the clinical level, not the terminal level, if you're ready to go through, the radiant form will allow you to pass through. If you're not ready to go through, the radiant form will send you back. There, the radiant form is what Jesus said, none come to the Father but by me. No ego enters the reality of the soul through its ego drive. It can only enter by the introduction of a soul conscious being who can vouch for you. Pass through. Now if you pass through and you don't return, your time is up. If you're sent back with the experience that you weren't allowed to go through, your time ain't up. But if you're allowed to go through and sent back with a message that it is valid to go through and come back, providing you work your way through by love, then you are, for I live and die daily in the Lord. He went through the door and he came back out of it. And anyone who's gone through the death experience can go through. There are two levels. Clinical terminal. But that is initiation. We are not giving you any magical quality. We're introducing you to your nature of how you're constructed. And you have to pass through the door. And at that moment of passing through, the physical measurements are equivalent to death. When you sleep, your five senses shut down. Therefore, it's referred to scientifically as unconscious sensory motor relaxation. Repeat, when you are asleep, that condition is referred to as unconscious sensory motor relaxation. In that state, you are not conscious. but certain vital organs are still working. Heart, lungs, and all the rest are in a state of suspension. Turned on, not turned off. Like a volume control. Now if you die, then they refer to you as an unconscious sensory motor organic relaxation. Then for sure you know your heart and your lung, your brain gone off. That's the organic side of you. Then the wise man says, well, what is it so I live if I can't get by organic control? Is there any bridge between? So they spent years of studying the body to go from sensory motor relaxation to sensory motor organic relaxation. Not unconsciously, conscious. The attempt is to be able to walk the narrow path between the electrical and magnetic fields of your cells with your observation of your consciousness supplied by the oxygen through your respiration in order to integrate the rhythmic control with the will, making you a free agent, master of the self. There's no SELF. This is biocellular control.
What's a coma then? What is a coma state?
A coma is unconscious sensory motor relaxation. It's not organic, but it's a deeper state than sleep. In sleep, you have the volition that brings you back to the waking state after the body has experienced enough relaxation in the unconscious level.
It's quicker.
You can induce coma and never come out. You can be injured and be in a state of coma and never come out of it. Or you can be injured and enter into a coma and be brought out of it. Now I'll give you a little experience of a friend of mine. Years ago, I had a phone call that this friend was in an airplane crash. And that he was in a coma and was unconscious. And the person that called me was a nurse who was a very personal friend of mine. And then she told me what had happened. My reply to her on the phone, I said, that is not possible for that man to be in that state. And she said, why? I said, they have taken off something that I placed on his body that ensures the body that it cannot be in an unconscious state. And I'll bet you 10 to 1 if you check the body, it has been removed. Now she went and checked the body, and she said on the phone, it has been removed. I said, then find out who took it off and put it on back. And they found it, the nurse who admitted the bodies, three of them, my friend and his two other friends who owned the plane that was in the crash. The nurse that admitted them into the hospital took the object off this friend's body. And she found the object, she replaced it as the instructions were. In 5 minutes, he opened his eyes. When everywhere possibly, according to the measurement, not possible.
The object. You have to say what the object was?
Yes. Have you ever read the autobiography of a yogi?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then, are you familiar with what Yukteswar told Yogananda to wear? Then he was going to have a certain illness. And in order to suspend the effects of the illness, he was told to wear something.
I can't recall what it was offhand. I don't remember what it was. Who was it?
It's an astrological bracelet.
Right.
I remember my friend Sanif once said, Adano, the simplicity of your science freak out a lot of people because it's too obvious that they refer to it as jewelry. I said, yeah, but my job is not to worry about it being jewelry as long as it saves your life.
When you were talking about consciously going through the different planes, how do you do that? When you're talking about consciously going through the different planes.
Breathe.
when you started off, you said no holds barred as far as questions and dedication to your friend today.
That's right.
He was a close friend of yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the question? Does that mean that the question that I asked you yesterday is still, you still can't answer that question, or are you not able to ask her, or did you forget? Okay. You mentioned yesterday that there's a place on the body where you could press to bring somebody back to life who recently passed away.
Yes. But until you're in that position, I can't press it.
Well, can you talk about it today? See, since I'm not able to come down here, I don't have a car anymore because my car blew up. And if I had a car, I'd come down and make a private meeting with you. But this is it right here. And I don't know when I'll ever get a car. So I'm asking you, basically, if you're able to discuss it in front of a group of people, because I know it's not readily discussed in groups of people. Were you press the part on the body in order to bring the person back into the living?
If you press it, it works. If you talk about it,
what is it?
You can't describe it.
It's a physical location on the body.
It's on the body. You have to have a body to do it.
Okay,
the body has to be in that state.
Is it up in the chest? Or is it?
When the body is there, it will become obvious because what makes the body in that state is where it's shut down.
But where
not everybody is. We're referring to a specific point that turns off in each person.
In other words, it's a different point for each person.
Yeah.
Isn't it a major point for each person?
No.
It's wherever it shuts off.
It's wherever it happens to shut off.
Yeah. That's what they call it. Time is up.
Okay. Excuse me. I got the impression that you were, maybe I misunderstood. I got the impression, according to you speaking the other day, that was a certain point.
Wherever that person's karmic debt, that's where you turn off. You are born at a certain time, and you pass out at a certain time to pick up where you left off. So there is no way you're going to fool yourself and get around it. Wherever you pick up, that moment in time you come back, the time you check out. You don't come in unless you checked out at that time.
Well, by reaching the Delta state that you mentioned the other day, does that help give you more power in order to be able to pull yourself?
You need more power.
In other words, I don't know if you're familiar with this book. It's called Yoga Sutras by Vivekananda, Panjali Yoga Sutras by Vivekananda. And I was wondering, if a person reads that book, do they automatically start to induce themselves into the Delta state just by reading those words and following some of those techniques? Or do you think if there's a better method other than reading and studying the book?
My friend, no book will get you below 7 minutes in the Delta. Every book will get you as far as 7 minutes in the Delta, and there will be no difference between you and a schizophrenic. Both of you will be in the Delta level for 7.5 minutes. But this to go to 15 minutes where you really have control. No book will carry you below that.
Okay, well, what would be the best technique for being able to stay in it for 15 minutes?
Breathe.
Just breathe. So in other words, I might be at it right now?
It's breathing that gets you there. Let me ask a simple question, though. Can I eat and you be satisfied? Then that's the same principle. No book or any condition is going to get you down below the 7 minutes in the Delta. You have to do it. You have to make the attempt to go there. You have to pass through the depth level. In other words, we can talk about going to God realization, but when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, nobody wants to make the attempt to walk through the door. It's nice conversation outside in the ego level. There is no conversation at the substratum level of the memory bank. Either you make the attempt to go in and stick it out through the whole maze of geometry, alphabet and numerals, and get past the 7.5 minutes of that wavelength into the next 7.5 minutes where there is no geometry, no alphabet, and no numerals. Do you think your brain can take 7.5 minutes of blank? The best genius can only stand 2.5 minutes blank.
How do you know it's blank?
When you pass through, you will know it's blank. There will be no doubt in your mind after it's over. You have to pass through the 7.5 to get to the 15. That's the test. They're like going to take an examination for a PhD. You can read all the books you like, but until you take that examination and they qualify you, you ain't got the PhD yet. That's how we find out if you panic or not. And it's very easy to panic at 14.5 minutes. At the last 5 minutes, 0.5 minutes, you may panic.
But if there's nothing happening, what's there to panic? And then
you're disappointed. You only know of nightmares. You ever had a nightmare? Wait till you run into a night stagger. Then you'll know what life is all about. I'm not talking just a cigarette, I'm talking death principles. The living dead. These are not ideas of mind games. These are dealing with your life principle. I remember Yogananda one time, a doctor was visiting with him. And she told me the story after. She said, I look at him and I said, what kind of yogi is he? So fat and voluptuous. And he kept on talking, and she was way in the back of the room. And then all of a sudden she looked around and says, doctor. Well, she figured out how the hell he knew she was a doctor. She never even recommended or presented herself. Would you want to come over here? And while she's coming, he says, you see this? We lift the skin off up like that. He says, I know you think this is all fat, but I want you to apply your medical knowledge and check it. Well, Yogananda used to weigh 240 pounds. And she said, and she tried to lift up that skin. Totally devastated her entire medical knowledge with his all muscles. She couldn't lift an eighth of an inch of it. But he lifted up a whole half inch of it. Put it back down. Then he said to her, now doctor, you're convinced it's not fat? Then take my pulse. And she said, that freaked her out now. In the right hand, it's 200. This right hand. And on the left hand is 4. She says, you're alive? He says, do I have a pulse, doctor? She says, no, master, you don't have a pulse.
Master.
Yeah, she used the word, no, master, I don't have a pulse. He says, well, that being the case then, temperature is in the room, and you look at the thermometer, and she said it was a hot summer day, and it was reading 78 degrees on the thermometer in the room, but outside she made it hot. Then he said to her, make sure, take the temperature of everybody in this room. Then come take my temperature. She checked everyone's temperature in the room, and she was satisfied they were normal. Then she went to check his, and that really freaked her out again.
78. 78 degrees.
No. His temperature was 56. Now if you go down in a cave in the ground, of any cave in this, the temperature is 56 degrees and nothing decomposes there. But if you live above 56 degrees cellularly, then your body decomposes after that. So we're not talking imagination. This has nothing to do with the process. we're talking fundamental laws of physics involving respiration.
But this because where this is normal temperature and or because he had control of his issue of temperature control. Argue with him.
The body, if you look at it objectively, you will see you don't breathe. You never did breathe. When you were in the womb, connected to the mother, did you breathe with your nostrils? There isn't a single human being who breathes with their nostrils when they're in the womb. They'd be dead. It's highly impossible physiologically to breathe with your nostrils inside the womb. You're sustained by pressurization through the umbilical cord, which flushes out through the mouth in the umbilical fluids. And every picture of the fetus has shown this to be an actual truth. We do not breathe with our nostrils until the body comes out and is severed from the umbilical cord. And even after it's severed by the umbilical cord, if it doesn't hold the pressurization from the environment via the nostrils, and even all artificial methods that we will use to sustain the pressurization, to bring it into synchronization, and it doesn't hold, we have to bury the product because it will start rotting. Then, do we breed? Becomes the question. Who breeds?
We breed. We are breathed.
We are breathed into. And that makes us realize once and for all, we don't have a single thing. Our bodies will fool us and think it can save the soul, and spend a lot of time trying to save the soul from the devil. When in actuality, the soul may save the body from its own devil. You don't have a soul, but be my guest if you think you have one. When this body, comprised of 144 elements, is pressurized by the 14.7 pounds per square inch, and holds a synchronicity, at that moment of synchronicity, it becomes living soil. Know the word soil? What is elements made of? Don't they come from the dirt? The ground? We call it planet today. You walk all over it. But it went through a tremendous process to become a tissue. And then it has to make the final connection of pressurization to make it viable or living. Man, male or female, or cosmic manifestation of atom in the form of tissue, is pressurized into a living state called living soil. So there is no soul. But for the sake of conversation, we call it soul. But the fact is, come let us make man, or a manifestation, not come let me, come let us. That's plural. That's optics and sonics. They're not, you know, there other than optics and sonics. Make a manifestation. That's a crystallization. In our own image, optics and sonics. Male and female. That is the yin yang of the Chinese little jigger to draw, like a Safeway sign. This is not but a sperm and ovum. The polaristic conditions of light and sound, like a Safeway sign. This is not but a sperm and ovum. The polaristic conditions of light and sound. In our own image and likeness, image, likeness, male and female created them. Then go to another fellow who wrote his book by the name of John, and he said, in the beginning was the Word, sonics, and the Word was with God, creative intelligence. And the Word was God, life. And the Word was made flesh, tissue, and dwells in man. Catch it. That pressurization of the air is the key. And yet, it's the most elusive principle there is. If it was that easy to get, we'd all be there. If we believe we breathe, we'd all be there. But because it's pressurized in, and that this is basically 144 elements in a viable state called tissue, it's activated now as living soil. And man became living soul. Or living soil. Come, let us make man in our own image and likeness, male and female created them. And God breathed breath of life into man or manifestation. And man or manifestation became living soul, but really it's living soil. The facts that we have to live with. And the word soil, don't make it derogatory, because you owe the respect for walking on God with your foot. And look at the bottom of your feet, what do you call it?
Soul.
Oh, thank you. Why don't you call your head your soul? Isn't this part, should we just label soul? Why do you call this part soul? You ever thought of that? Why do you call this one? You're born and grew up in this country, and every country they go around they call it soul. They never call this part soul. But it's living soil.
In other languages?
Yes. This is still. But this is living soil. The living soil. This is the living soil. Therefore, man like Jesus would say, my God is of the living and not of the dead. There are 144 elements in this container would be of the dead. This is not living. This is petrified. The silicon in this container is petrified. The silicon in this container is living. It's not petrified. It's viable. And yet if you tell somebody, I can break the glass without cutting my hand, 9 times out of 10, you've got the conviction that the glass should cut your hand. And then when you hit the glass and the glass smash up and the hand don't hurt, which silicon is more powerful? The petrified form or the viable form? That's how come the Oriental, years ago, told the student, put up or shut up. If you think that this is not living soil. You see this brick here? Now do it. Holy smoke. I had it ready for that, yet, bastard. Good, then shut up. Just until you can smash the rock in two with your hand, don't tell yourself that this rock is better than you. You are living soil. But when you are living soil and you know, you smash the rock. They call it martial art. So you have to test these fellas, you know, who like to talk a lot. But I love these yogis. That's why Jesus said, the things I do, you do also, and greater things shall you do. He just said lesser things. Now if he said lesser things, I'd have to say to you tonight, in all faithfulness, he is the only Son of God. But he didn't say lesser things. He said greater things, which makes every one of us now what? Children of the Father. And then it's up to you to accept your true nature and apply it by understanding the physiology of it, instead of selling yourself short with all kind of convictions and don't know what's going on. It is taking modern science a long time to eradicate a lot of the fixations about ourselves. But as the time goes, we will become more conscious of this living temple. Living temple. I must go back again to Yogananda with his 200 odd pounds. He used to be a skinny guy. And he lived in the time of Charles Atlas, you know. He wanted to be big in order to come to America to teach. Because after all, in America, everybody is gung-ho. Schwarzenegger? Good. Want to be big. So he went to his teacher and he says, I want a big body. Teacher says, all right. Are you ready to pay the price for it? What's the price? Breathe. So he went all over searching for some technique how to get down into this delta level. And even when he met the Swami up in the jungle, in the mountains, and spent the whole night with the Swami, that the Swami would not give him no free ride to the delta level. So he went back home to his own guru, and he went in his room, and he sat down, and he's reading or meditating. And then the teacher calls him and says, come here. And then he shouts, but Master, I'm meditating. He says, yeah, I know how you're meditating with your head all over in the, like the leaves in the wind. Anyway, come here. So he goes down, wondering what the Master is going to do, and the Master looks at him and slaps him in the chest. Pow! He's in the delta level now. 15 minutes, and he's having the first exposure to convex vision. Most of us live our lives in concave vision. That is, we only can see at. But we're working to see through. We seldom acquire it or accomplish it. Periodically we may get a glimpse of it, knowing that it might or might not exist. When in actuality, the brain did not slow down sufficiently to allow the eyes to experience the convexity, to see through the atomic mass. But when the teacher gave him the experience, his brain slowed down to where he was able to see both forward and behind, above and below, convex vision. Then it was called cosmic consciousness or cosmic vision. Then when he came out of it, he wanted to prostrate to his teacher. The teacher said, go clean up the place. Then he said he spent many months after practicing to breathe and lower the rate of his brain in order to relive the experience. And when he came to this country, the few who were fortunate to know him were given the experience after they spent the time to slow their brains down too. So when I wrote to him that I wanted to buy 100 books on God, he wrote back and told me, what is all the knowledge and all the books in comparison to 15 minutes silence in the soul? And it took me a long time to experience that, about 18 years. But those 15 minutes silence in the soul was my brain pushed down to the delta level to stay in it for 15 minutes, to go past the schizophrenic level, nightmare and night stallion levels. The nightmare is nothing in comparison to the night stallions.
Did your teacher pull you through that night? Hmm? Did your teacher pull you through that night stallion and back out the other side?
Yeah. In the night stallion level, you will fool yourself that you are God. You may think you can perform all kind of magical powers, but your brother Paul will tell you this: I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. He had to pass through schizophrenic level of 7.5 minutes of delta, go down to 14.5, where all the magical powers are happening and making you think you've got magical powers, then to go into the next level. Because he was riding on a horse, this guy Paul, and his name was Saul, and he was a bounty hunter looking for nice Jewish Christians to get some money from the Romans to turn them in. That was his job. He didn't want to admit it. But on his way to a place called Damascus, he fell off his horse. Cosmic initiation. Bumped his head. Who pushed him off the horse? That's the question. And then he hears a voice, Saul, Saul, why does thou persecute me? But he can't open his eyes to see who's talking to him because he's blind now. That's a joke. You fall off your horse and you can't open your eyes, and even you open it, you can't see. And then you got this voice saying to you, why are you persecuting me? And you don't quit, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he was in that state for 6 months, and led by the hand to a man by the name of Ananias, who was a disciple of the Master, Jesus. But this disciple was a householder type. He wasn't a renunciate type like the other 12. The householder type. And staying at that man's house, he had to confront his own inner consciousness. He had to work through the various levels of his being. And so he was able to recognize the miraculous powers of the body. And then you have to recognize the final decisions of soul nature, which is the death process, to go beyond. That's why he wrote, without any doubt, that statement, I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. The final test of one who is master of himself, and that's what the white swami is to go right down into delta for 15 minutes straight. And that's what Yogananda was inferring to me when I asked him for 100 books. And he's replying a letter saying, what is all the knowledge in all the books in comparison to 15 minutes silence in the soul? It took me 18 years to experience it. But when I was pushed into it, I was not left in it. I was brought out back by the grace of a living teacher. to this day I say the living teacher for the massacre.
What is and you're busy bringing your what?
Presents.
Good. Now you know what 15 minutes at Delta is. You don't have any other job, Fred, than to be the ho ho ho.
It's too.
Well, it happens to you in your house, fine. Out on the street, they may think you're crazy to put you away. So that's why the experience is very, very mind-blowing. All the geometry, algebra, or alphabet, and numerals are gone. Because the whole thing is laughter from then on. And then you have to admit that fellow who wrote that statement, all the world is but a what?
Stage.
And we merely are actors, and we have our entrances and our exits. He wasn't lying. He was describing the facts. The entrance and the exit is the scope of the horror. It's called the horoscope. That's the part you play. You come in at a certain moment in time, you live a certain length of time, and you go out at a certain moment in time. And that is well laid out for you to live. That's your script in the movie called Pre-Act Ion.
Pre-Act Ion, creation.
Good, thank you. Now you know what you're doing. You're making the greatest movie called Pre-Act Ion. So for that reason, you're a prime actor. Each one is entitled to a cosmic Oscar called Resurrection.
Resurrection.
That's the cosmic Oscar. And if you act your part well, that's the scope of your horror, and don't freak out or panic, you'll get your Oscar. But you gotta go through it. So don't look for the trapping, look for the process.
What would have happened if you didn't have a living teacher pointing through that last half a minute? Would you have gone crazy, or could you have gone through that with help from the other side of by yourself?
There's a saying that goes like this: when the student is ready, a master will be there. We're only waiting for you to be ready so we can pull you through and push you back out. But we don't pull you and push you out before your time. We'll continue to be your cosmic nursemaid, clean your shoes, wash your feet, and do every kind of thing, like Brother Jesus did last time. So if I don't wash your foot, you'll belong to me. They'll do their nice little neat work, come along, casual, be with you. And you're ready to push you in for you. Like Sri Yukteswar did to Yogananda. And I cannot say I did it myself. Someone pushed me in and pushed me out.
Is that Yogananda?